Hey everyone, you're listening to the official podcast of 4playernetwork.com. If you like games as much as we do and are interested in being part of a fun community of people like yourself, we invite you to visit the website and create a free account today. We do monthly game giveaways and encourage discussion via comments and even quick read editorials submitted to us by you. Of course, you can also watch us stream games every single day at 4pp.tv, and you can even support us on Patreon at patreon.com/4player. Anyways, enough of that, let's get on to the show. Drove me crazy.
Hello, it's day two.
No, we had 2 seconds.
No, it's fine. Let's fuck it. This is roll. Hey guys, welcome to 4-Player Podcast. PAX West 2016, day two. We played so much stuff today. Get off the table, Chris.
You too.
Okay, you're killing the audio. God damn it, Crispy.
I'm sorry.
That's gonna be awful.
I can't help it.
Welcome to PAX West. It's day two.
Would anybody else like to beat on the table?
We wouldn't blame you if you stopped listening now.
Can I drop a Skittle?
You can. Oh, man. All right, we played so many games today.
Should we introduce ourselves?
Oh, shit. I'm Nick. I'm Nick.
I'm Brad.
I'm Chris.
I'm Ed.
Yes. Sorry. That's
remember when somebody at the meetup, someone goes, "Hey, Nick. Hey, Ed." And he was talking to Blue Jay.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. In all fairness, Blue Jay is kind of like tall and skinny and goofy looking.
Aren't we all just a little goofy looking? Oh my god, there is a concert going on right outside
for yourself,
the window.
Nick.
I hope
goofy looking.
The music's gonna come through too clearly, and we're gonna get muted. For God.
Anyways, yeah, this is day two of PAX. We played some stuff today. I know. Ed played Horizon. I played Horizon, even though it's the same thing I played at E3. But I'd be happy to talk to you about it, Ed. I know Brad and Crispy are gonna play it tomorrow.
I played some Final Fantasies.
You know what? Let's start.
Really?
Yeah.
There.
Some Final Fantasies. Which Final Fantasy would you like to hear about?
Well, I played Zodiac Age at E3. What'd you think of that? I saw you played that.
Yeah, no. Zodiac Age is looking great. Now, I mean, that's a game you could actually get running pretty well in an emulator, and I tried it. But, you know, this one's just a little more polished because...
It's a damn good port, it seems.
It looks really nice, and it's the Japanese international version of the game.
Is there any additional features on top of that?
One of the cool features from the international version is the speed up button.
Yeah, right.
So now you just hit a button and it turns the game into hyperdrive, like 200% speed.
Yeah.
And so your dude will run fast, you'll go through combat really quick, and it just kind of makes like traversing areas and you've already been and stuff
makes the
really
grind
nice.
more palatable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like when your gambits are on point, you don't necessarily, you could just hit the speed up button. You know, it was cool and it looks nice, and I'll get that for sure because I love Final Fantasy XII. Look, I got a poster.
Oh, you got a poster. Can I see it? I actually haven't got a close look at it. I'll hold it up to the camera. Keep talking.
I also tried World of Final Fantasy. That is straight up a baby game. That's like Final Fantasy Mystic Quest for our generation. I know some people are excited about it. It has kind of a nice look to it, I guess. But, man, it is a baby game.
What about it makes it a baby game? It looks kind of nice, like in terms of just its.
I mean,
it's
like
crisp looking
like,
game.
Yeah, it's crisp, and it's colorful, and it seems pretty nice. But like, the art style sucks. Both chibi and less chibi, but still big headed. You know,
it looks weird.
It's kind of like Pokemon, where you're capturing. Monsters, little chibi versions of monsters, so you can wear them on your head.
Why are they wearing them on their head?
It's a game about stacking shit on your head, right?
It's because, like, in like other like Final Fantasy like spinoff games, you like in the Four Heroes of Light game, all the jobs were crowns, and so that's how you changed your different abilities.
Just changing,
but
your
this.
You're putting animals on your head now.
It looks stupid. And you have a stack of them. It reminds me a little bit of that Dragon Quest slime game where you stack shit on your head.
What is with that? Why is that like such a...
A thing?
Yeah, why is that such a thing? Because like the screenshots are all like little chibi characters and then like a Cactar and then like...
Hats are cool.
Like a fucking fireball or something above that. Yeah.
It was supremely easy and simple. There's very little depth to the combat. Like, you actually see the active time bar on it. It always does wait. So it doesn't even have, like, the constant Final Fantasy, like, oh, I gotta go quick because they keep attacking. There's no stress. And you see the bar, and it almost looks like a Grandia bar, you know? But in Grandia, you see that the enemy's about to attack. You can use a certain type of attack to knock them back down the timeline. It was super strategic. It's why Grandia's battle system is so good. This, you can see the enemy's about to attack, but you attacking them doesn't do anything to the timeline. It's like, they don't even need to show it. It's just, it's like a baby game. It's like a my first RPG, and it looks nice. That's it. Maybe there'll be some decent fan service, but how good can fan service be when Squall shows up and he's got a big head and a body that's smaller than his head? Like, have you seen, like, these?
Oh, yeah, I've seen them.
This
is one of the mini games of PAX West that I walked up and watched.
I just don't know who this is for. Because the people who care about all these old Final Fantasy characters, they're, like, older than 8. I don't even think an 8-year-old would think this looks that cool.
Dude, there's...
8-year-olds are into some cool shit.
There's a lot of girls who are into cutesy stuff who are into Final Fantasy.
Okay. So, I mean, do you think it's appealing to that audience? Like,
I don't know.
Maybe the Kingdom Hearts audience?
I
don't know.
Okay, if the Kingdom Hearts audience likes the look of this, then...
It's a...
Whatever.
Who knows, man? Who the hell knows?
I want Chibi Roxas!
Did you play any other Final Fantasy
this
today?
This game makes Final Fantasy look like hardcore. I mean, it makes Kingdom Hearts look like metal.
Okay. What? Look metal. I don't want Brad using the word metal to describe things.
Nick, you're so protective of that word.
Yeah, because you always make fun of me for it, and then you go and use it as a descriptor. It's just weird.
Yeah, that's appropriation. You can't do that.
Boom. Boom. Would you play any other Final Fantasies today, Brad?
I don't make fun of you for liking metal, Nick.
Yeah, you do. The fuck are you talking about? The fuck are you talking about?
Roll montage.
Someone pull up. Gotta get to GameStop right now.
That is a classic. Well, I sort of played Final Fantasy 15.
Alright, I sat in line for about 20 minutes waiting to play Final, and not even one person finished the demo, so I left.
I played a different demo.
Were you playing the Titan demo?
No, I watched someone play the Titan demo, okay. And they...
The Titan demo tomorrow. I played the Chocobo Racing demo.
Oh, how's that? Where was that?
It was in the Square Enix booth. Oh.
Yeah.
You raced Chocobos. I raced Pronto. I raced... Gizmo.
Why are there such
stupid fucking names?
Did you do the drift? The Chocobo drift?
No, I didn't. And I did the one where you hop through rings. It's really slow and really boring, and
did you think it was slow and boring in Final Fantasy VII?
Because
that is a...
I like that Chocobo Racing was in there, but when you had to do it a bunch for breeding purposes, then it kind of sucked. Dude, but I mean, it was novel at the time because games didn't do all these weird, crazy different things. That's why Final Fantasy VII was so crazy.
Well, I'm just saying, the reason this is a thing is because, like, I look back on my experience with Final Fantasy VII and IX, particularly, and I did all the Chocobo shit in that game, and I loved it. Like, I spent... so long getting that gold chocobo, and that is.
I've put plenty of games where you race like horses and stuff, and it seemed, you know, like in a Zelda game or some shit. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this just didn't feel all that good.
But you can drift, like chocobo drifting looked cool.
I didn't do any drifting.
You're doing it wrong.
I think you're thinking I'm near.
No, if you like the first like when they showed that big that new Final Fantasy 15 trailer and they first showed they were playing the chocobo music and they were showing a chocobo race and he was just like fucking drifting like it's sliding around corners and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I remember that.
It actually looks kind of fun.
Them chickens ain't that fast. So I don't know.
Well, this was out in the open world, so who the hell knows?
So the demo starts with you like in front of the chocobo racing stand or whatever. Before you go start chocobo racing, I'm like, fuck this, I ain't racing chocobos. I'm gonna run out into the world. I started doing that and I was looking at the map and stuff, and someone comes over and like, no, you need to race chocobos.
They didn't just put in something that stopped you from
It was just a game.
They hired a guy to stand there and tell you to, like, nope.
A dude with, like, a blackjack is just like, so, can you race some chocobos or what?
No, that's what happened. Hey, but the dude next to me, he was out in the world doing shit. And I'm like, what? And they were talking to each other like, apparently this guy has permission. He's wearing a fucking, like, purple Twitch hoodie. Must be some big deal on Twitch or some shit.
Hey, so
he didn't have to race chocobos. Everybody else at the station had to race chocobos.
Wait. It was the full, like actual game, and you can physically go do other things.
He was
But there's just a
like
guy a, right there who's yeah. just like, sorry. You gotta race the chocobos.
That is literally what happened.
But, like, somebody else wasn't raising the chocobos, and that
cool,
guy, like,
cool purple Twitch hoodie,
it's
dude.
Probably PewDiePie.
Why didn't you just wait till he walked away and then not race What the fuck?
Yeah, it was bullshit. Like, fucking chocobo Gestapo.
Grow
over
some
here.
Balls, Brad.
No, you know what I did? And it fucking worked. I started the chocobo race. I'm like, fuck you guys. I hopped the fence and I ran out into the world on my chocobo.
That's cool. You can do that,
yes.
though.
You stole the chocobo.
Well, I ran for like probably like 100 yards away from
this
the
guy's
track.
Not racing chocobos. Get him.
He's on a chocobo, but that ain't a race.
All the people in the race are then chasing after you, trying to get you to bring the chocobo back to the race.
Eventually, it failed out. And I had to start the race over, but it totally let me just run out into the world. So fuck that guy. Fuck Square Enix. Fuck you. You don't tell me what to do.
I do what I want.
Because literally, the only thing that made this part of the booth, the chocobo racing demo, was a dude telling you, no,
race
you
chocobos.
Need to race this fucking chocobo. It was so weird.
That is great. That is great.
Oh, man. I worry about that game, guys. I do.
Hey, of course, you're all worried about it. But we worry about it because we care, right?
Yeah, well, of course.
It's Final Fantasy. We care. We want it to be good.
I know, but, like, we especially want this to be good because this is kind of like The Force Awakens or whatever.
You know what? That turned out pretty good.
No.
Well, yeah. I know what he's saying.
I know.
The last real Final Fantasy was 13, and a lot of people weren't happy there. And now that a new one is out, we kind of want it to be good again because if this one isn't great...
It needs
like
to
Final Fantasy 13 wasn't great, then what do we Final Fantasy name doesn't mean shit anymore.
Like Force Awakens, it needs to at least demonstrate some level of competency.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have faith that it will. But I see what you're saying. I understand the concern. If it comes out and it's a really well-made game, it's just not resonating with people. It's going to sell. It's going to fucking sell. Like, there's no way it's not going to sell. It just means that if it doesn't get the reaction they're hoping for, it might mean they might have to go back to the drawing board again. Maybe we'll actually get a Final Fantasy next time that's more like something like 9 or 7 or something. That's
But Sakaguchi was still working at Squaresoft when 9 happened.
So, you know what?
But I'm saying like the old blood that made those kinds of games in the past, they're not there anymore. And, well, it's still hot in here. Sorry. But that's it. Final Fantasy, November 29th. We're probably all going to play it.
Yes, without a doubt.
Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a bandwagon kind of guy.
You know what they need?
I love bandwagons.
They need to hire... Does Miss Walker still exist?
What?
Miss Walker?
You
mean Blue Dragon Team?
Yeah. Or Lost Odyssey. The studio that Sakaguchi made when he left after he left Square.
I feel like it doesn't. Or we last story had something from them by now. Like
last story
one?
Was their last big thing.
Yeah, that was the one that came on the Wii, right? That you're talking about.
Square Enix needs to go.
They're sitting in the shadows waiting.
They need to go make nice with Sakaguchi and with Matsuno, and they say, "Hey, what Final Fantasy 16? Because 15 technically is still a 13 spinoff."
They're like, "Hey, bring it back."
They need. 16 and 17, go.
Well, the thing is, like, Final Fantasy for me is always, like, it's gone a little back and forth between, like, something a little more traditional, like, high fantasy, and then the next one is, like, almost science fiction in nature, where it's largely a human cast, and, like, I feel like there's two distinct styles of Final Fantasy, and they kind of alternate back and forth. Final Fantasy 13 was one of those like kind of hyper futuristic with human cast, and then this one obviously started as a 13 spinoff. So when they repurposed it, it still feels a little bit kind of like 13.
But ever since Final Fantasy 6, which kind of started the blend between science fiction and fantasy, like they've all been that except for 9. You know, 9 was the one that was the throwback.
That's why 9 is my favorite. To be totally 10's honest.
10's kind of, like, not futuristic, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it also has
a there is a spaceship airship, you know? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's a spaceship?
Yeah.
Well, shit. Not,
no, it's an airship.
Oh. But, I mean, it's like, it ain't running on propellers.
It doesn't go into space?
No. It goes into the sky.
Do you... What is the most science fiction-y thing you do in Final Fantasy?
10?
10.
Probably get on an airship. Or travel through time.
Yeah, there you go. Although sometimes that happens in fantasy too, through the use of time magic, which is completely different.
I mean, Final Fantasy X is weird. It's not like, it's more modern. Like in Final Fantasy X too, she's like putting on a show, like a concert.
Yeah,
there's no concerts like, in like fantasy times.
Like
she had a microphone and shit, and there's
and
guns.
She's like carrying guns. Yeah.
Well, Final Fantasy X-2 is one of those games where it's kind of like either you like it and you're willing to accept it as canon, or you don't really like it and you just consider it.
Which one?
And it's a sequel, so like, it obviously came like 10-2.
I like 10-2's battle system, but I don't really think of it as like an extended. Like, I don't really think of it as a
canon.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who do take it real seriously, but
the canon.
Well, I mean, that's my deep dive into Final Fantasy.
We should have more conversation about Final Fantasy. I love that series. We should do it. We should record a whole Final Fantasy podcast. But we can't. This is PAX. We played other things. What else did y'all play at PAX? Oops. Don't look at me. I didn't play anything today.
You want to talk about Horizon?
We can talk about Horizon. It's the only game I put my hands on today. Yeah. And it's the same... What are you doing? It is the same game I played at E3. So I'm going to kind of let you lead this conversation, Ed.
So we'll play it tomorrow.
And they're going to play it tomorrow.
The way it's set up or whatever is, like, first they could show you a video, where it's not a video, someone's actually
yeah,
playing.
Yeah, it's a live
but it,
demonstration.
It's just like the video that they had at E3, and I think
which
they showed
it
at the conference, too, right?
They showed...
At the press
conference.
Yes,
it's what they showed at the conference at E3, but played live. And I can confirm it's played live, because I've seen it 3 times now, and every single time it's played a little bit differently.
Yeah. There was a point where it, like, was very obvious that it was actually her playing it.
Yes,
she
fucked up.
She fucked up, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
which is, you know, hey, it makes the demo entertaining to watch because you don't really know what's going to happen. But
so
it's a good looking game.
It is, like, when it first boots up and you see the grass swaying in the wind and stuff like that. It looks great.
It is
talking about Recore. What are we talking about?
Horizon.
I'm paying attention. I'm talking with you. I said Recore. Yeah. Which one looks better?
Horizon.
Fuck you, Brad. Just get out of the room.
Doesn't matter.
Get the fuck out of the
Horizon
room.
Horizon obviously looks better. Without a doubt.
I'm
fucking
My shit.
But,
sorry.
So, like, right after the video...
All right, Motown Nick.
They take you into this other room where you play, like, a short demo.
Yeah, it's literally like they give you...
How short?
It's like, well, at E3...
So, that's the thing.
At E3, they only gave me 5 minutes.
Oh,
here,
wow.
They gave me 10. Or
for
roughly.
Me, I just kept playing until they said. They didn't even say for me to
what
leave.
What they do is they let you. The demonstration,
forward.
Like the live demo, takes like 10-15 minutes for them to do, and they let the people in the room playing the demo play while they're doing the next demonstration.
Right.
So they play until.
So it's like 20-ish minutes.
Yeah,
but
so it's a cycle.
So
it's a cycle.
So when you first start up the demo, you are given like these 2 objectives, which is what they do in the presentation, where you have to like kill some watchers, and then what watchers are these little raptor looking things. And then capture one of
the
horn things that you can ride.
Yes. So what they show off in the demo is the ability to... They show off hunting, they show off resource gathering, and then they show you how to capture these, like, bull creatures and ride them. You can mount them and use them to travel across the open world.
kinda. I don't know how far you got. Like, the zone for the demo is
it's very
small.
Like the
so if you go outside the zone, it won't like kick you out or whatever. It'll restart the demo.
Yeah, literally, it's like hunt and kill these machines, and then once they're gone, they're gone. And I put the controller down and left early.
And so I didn't know that like that was the only objective of the demo. So, like, I went and I captured the Broadhorn, but I didn't do the part where you silently kill or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have credit for that. So I started looking around for Watchers in other places, and I just couldn't find any.
Nope.
And I thought I messed up the demo, so I had to I restarted it like twice to try and once I completed the quest, that's when I realized is like there's nothing else to this demo. There's some gathering. You can just do some gathering. Yeah. But I mostly use it to try out the combat. Combat feels good on top when you're riding on top of the.
Combat feels really good in this game. I mean, personally, I thought it felt really good, and
yeah.
The ability to like fire arrows and throw set traps and shit, and the fact that you can do all of that while you're like riding a mounted creature is really cool. They have like ice bombs you can throw, which is cool. But obviously, this is a game you're using a bow and arrow a lot, and that in all of the. All of the enemies or robots, whatever, or machines, they have these, like, neon green, like, canisters on their back, and mm-hmm. that is kind of serves as, like, resources that you can gather and currency, but it's also their weak point. So that feeling you get when you, like, fire an arrow and it makes contact with one of the canisters and, like, creates a big explosion, and, like, pieces fly everywhere, and it slows them down, and they start limping, and, like, that stuff feels really cool.
When I was shooting the Watcher, I would just shoot him right in the face. And they immediately die. So right. When I shot the Watcher...
Yeah, if you shoot him right in the eye,
yeah.
Because he's got a big fucking eye in the end of his face. Yeah. But overall, it's really cool. It's just, don't go into the demo expecting a lot of freedom, because they literally put you in this, like...
box.
small box. You can see the open world, but the moment you try and go into it, they're like, no! There's no one with a blackjack, though. So don't worry about that. But
the blackjack is the game.
But it does threaten to basically reset the demo.
It does. Race some chocobos or what?
Oh, did you actually like make it reset on accident?
It was accidental. It popped up, and then my mount was going so fast that I couldn't get I couldn't tell it to stop in time. Stop! I was hitting the brakes, and it was screeching, and then it hit the point, and it restarted. But it was cool. It was cool. I think the dialogue system reminds me of
Mass Effect. It has dialogue options, which is cool. I will say that the only thing in this game I'm a little concerned about, especially after playing it again, and I'm a little worried about the voice acting.
Yeah,
it doesn't
it's gorilla.
It's not like terrible, but it's definitely noticeable that it's maybe not. It's a little forced. I don't know.
I'd probably be worried about the writing and storytelling altogether, to be honest.
Well, the writing and storytelling in Killzone is actually, if you talk to someone who's likes that series, like the lore and the writing in that series is actually pretty good.
The world building of it.
Like people talk about the
world
building.
I mean,
the people talk about the world that they have written into existence. Maybe not the way they build the world, but like the lore they created for it is actually really cool. So I think that'll probably be really neat. It's the way they maybe present that story, the way the dialogue they write that might be questionable.
Yeah. I only ever really played Killzone 2, but I finished that and I thought it was kind of bad.
I wonder, the one part that they show in that video could have been like the first cut they did, you know?
Yeah, it could be. She runs into someone, some guy's like, don't go over there, there's a big demon! Yeah. And she's like, I don't believe in demons, you keep going that way, I'm gonna go that way, yay! And they just leave, and it's just, but... Okay, that's not exactly how the lines were delivered.
Oh,
but, you know.
I don't know how many times
that's an approximation.
Used the, like, call mount whistle at all.
Holy shit, it's loud!
That's so loud!
So loud! I had to take my headset off, because when you push down the D-pad, she'll whistle, like, if you have a mount...
Yeah.
Like, if you can call the mount back to you, and when she whistles, like, fucking almost blew my eardrums out.
Pretty sure that means you're a dog.
And the girl, the person playing the demo for the video, she kept doing it. Like, while she was fighting the demon or like whatever.
Four times.
She kept doing it 4 times, so loud. It was already loud in that
room. Take earplugs when you go. Hopefully they'll scale that back a little bit. But anyways, y'all go play that tomorrow.
I have my appointment.
Okay.
Plays like a dream.
It's cool.
I've got an appointment. So we'll see. We'll see about all this. I suspect you guys might be lying.
Yeah, me too.
Of course. Alright, that's all I played today. What did y'all play?
That's
it. I played that Warcube game you're talking about.
Yeah, we played Warcube?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was cool, but I felt like whenever you did the charge attack, I like completely lost control of my character.
You weren't doing enough cool shit.
Okay. What?
It, well, yeah, because, like, the whole idea of the charge attack is that you hold the button, you aim, and you let go, and he, like, dashes forward.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to immediately, like, do it again.
Yeah, so, like, when you're fighting enemies, there's, like, a slowdown portion, and the guy had to explain it to me because I didn't... It wasn't obvious.
Yeah.
But there's, like, right when you hit an enemy, there's a slowdown, and you hold down the button, and you can shoot off in a different direction.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's supposed to, like, be for chaining
attacks
together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said yesterday, that demo was fun, but, like, it doesn't do a good job of giving you, a scope of, like, what the full game is gonna be like. So, I'm waiting to see. Because, like, he's launching it into Early Access. So, I mean, it might be a while before we really see what that game is supposed to be. Brad and I played Battletech. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about Battletech. You want to show them Visual Aid, Nick?
Let's talk about Battletech.
Visual Aid.
You might
Battletech. I insert this into evidence.
You might remember Chris Davis mentioning this on the podcast because they're kickstarting a new Battletech game.
This is Harebrained Schemes. They're the ones who've done the new Shadowrun games. They're, you know, people that formerly worked on Shadowrun back in the day. But yeah, this is the Mech Warrior.
Well, yeah, Battletech is, like, the universe that MechWarrior is spun off from.
So big, chunky robots.
Well, Battletech... Okay, so the whole thing started as a tabletop tactics game. Kind of like Warhammer.
Yeah.
But it's all mechs, you know? And the big, like, twist on it was because it was mechs, like, you had to manage, like, the different weapons on your mechs, and you had to manage heat distribution. Like, if you build up too much heat, you'd have to shut down and cool off and then reactivate your mech, and that takes time. So they basically took that, they took, like, the original concept of the tabletop game and turned it into a video game, which, up until now, all the Battletech / MechWarrior games had been, like, these... like
shooters.
Yeah, they'd been like these mech simulators where you're just controlling one mech on a battlefield, and it's all like the simulation of like running this one machine, and now it's like a tactics game.
Kind of like XCOM or something.
Yeah. They were bandying about the XCOM name pretty heavily at the booth.
I just think that's the most common popular strategy game that people understand.
Yeah.
You know, when you're trying to explain to me, and some of the mechanics kind of work like XCOM, I guess, but
I'm
excited about this game because I like big robots, I like tactics, you know, Front Mission, something I enjoy greatly, and I love XCOM. This thing is a little rough around the edges. It felt really early.
Well,
kind of running into a lot of glitches with just UI and stuff.
I don't know if you noticed, but every demo station had a big sign on it that said "super pre-alpha."
Oh, is that what they said?
Yeah.
So pre-alpha.
Like the
it hurts.
Yeah, like all the signs actually had printed on them "super pre-alpha."
Wow.
So it is. I mean, it's pre-alpha to the point that at the end of the mission, I had two mechs left, and I was still fighting enemies. And both of those mechs had taken so much damage that, like, all of their weapon systems were offline. And they were still alive, but they couldn't do anything on their turn but walk around. And one of the devs was standing there, and he was like, oh, yeah, well, in the final game, or, like, in the tabletop game, like, you could just, like, go up to another mech and melee. But we haven't put that in the game yet.
Because we're super pre-alpha.
Right. We haven't put that in the game yet, so you're just going to have to run the... Yeah, he's like, you're just going to have to run the turns out until you die. So I did that. Like, I ran another 5 turns, and then they finally killed me.
My problem is but outside of being kind of buggy and rough around the edges, is that there didn't seem to be much... It seemed a little shallow for me. Like, there wasn't much you can do. It was positioning your dudes and then kind of firing at the enemy, and there was not much more to it than that. I mean, I had one, you know, character that can use her jump jets to get up high or over stuff. But, you know, I mean, the only real strategy is maybe kind of getting behind or flanking the enemy and doing more damage. But there's no, like, Overwatch command. Like, you can't really set up ambushes.
Right.
You know, the enemy just comes for you and you just shoot at it. And I feel like there's not a lot of good UI feedback that kind of explains when you can be seen or when you can't be seen. You know, and there's a lot of terrain and stuff, and I'm like, well, I have my scout. Maybe I'll try to hide behind this hill, but I don't really... I feel like I wasn't getting much for that, you know?
Yeah, it's not like... It, you don't ever really feel like it, it's kind of ironic because you're in these giant fucking mechs, and one of the mechs on your like team is an Atlas, which in the BattleTech universe is like the fucking god emperor of mechs. It can just take all kinds of damage, carry all kinds of weapons. It's just like a fucking monster, and you're using it in this context of like this isometric strategy game, and it just doesn't. Like you're launching salvos of missiles at the enemies, and you see like 4, 4, 4, 5, 4, 4. Like it doesn't feel powerful.
Yeah,
it just doesn't. It doesn't give you like it. It doesn't.
There wasn't a
like,
lot.
Like, what's
of good...
the point of this game being about giant robots when like them being giant robots isn't really like
it, you
a
know,
feature that is.
It needs more like cinematic, like XCOM, like zoom ins and stuff.
Yeah,
at the very least. It seemed a little. It seemed to lack punch, and it reminds me of those Shadowrun games where they had very much an XCOM style combat system, but everything you did just felt like a fucking wet fart. It was just nothing felt powerful or looked cool. It was just.
But that was the thing too. Like you were saying, the whole strategy of this game is all about positioning. It's about getting high ground or about flanking your enemies, right? But when, even when you do that, like, it doesn't really feel like you've got a leg up on them. It just feels like you did some damage to them, I guess, and they're still walking.
And what determined the turn order, either? It was just,
oh, yeah, I have no idea. It was really
weird. They should show the turn order,
I should disclose that I was talking to what's-his-face, Jordan Weissman, the creator of BattleTech and MechWarrior, like, the guy who created the whole thing, right?
And he made himself look like a butt.
Yeah, and he fucking...
Crispy made himself
look like... Well, I didn't, though. Like, he came up and he asked me, he's like, oh, hey, so you ever played BattleTech or, like, MechWarrior before? And I was like, well, yeah, like, I played one of the MechWarriors back in the day, like, a little bit, and... You know, like, that's about it. That's my experience with the series. And he's like, oh, well, you have any questions about this one? And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at the game. Like, I'm doing what you do in these things where you're like, you're just trying to think of something to ask, you know, to not be like, no, I don't fucking care, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, well, you know, I kind of remember in the older games, there was this mechanic where... If you downed an enemy mech, like its reactor would go critical, and you had to get out of the way, or else like because it was going to explode within a turn or something, and then deal like a bunch of damage to everybody.
Nuclear, I believe you said.
Nuclear. I didn't say nuclear. I just said the reactor went critical and blew up, and he was like, actually, no, that was only in Mech Assault, and that's not canon.
I'm gonna go over here.
And that, yeah, I was like, he's like that. He's
walked
like,
away.
He's like, no. That's only in Mech Assault. And I was like, oh, really? And he's like, I made MechWarrior. He's like, I made the games. Like, I did all the games. And I was like, oh. And then he just like turned to somebody else and was like, oh, hey, and like immediately walked away. And I was like, okay, fuck me, I guess. I'm never asking you a question again. Fuck your game. Like,
all right. Awkward.
Hopefully it's good.
Hopefully it sucks.
This is what you get for trying to engage people in their games.
The demo was kind
of
rough.
But honestly, though, like, I was sitting there, like, listening to him talk to other people, and, like, I was listening, like thinking about it, and, like, he was going up to everybody in that line, and he was like, oh, you ever play BattleTech or, like, MechWarrior back in the day? And 99% of them were like, no. He was like, oh, you ever heard of BattleTech? No. You ever heard of MechWarrior? No. And there was one guy that he kept going. He was like, oh, well, you ever heard of, like, Mech Assault? And he's like, oh, yeah, I played that. And I... Because he didn't do Mech Assault. He didn't do the Xbox.
Dude, that's what happened.
That was so, like, awesome. he's just, like, fucking, like, ugh.
You were the last person in a chain of people that had referenced Mech Assault. And he was just like, God, fuck this shit.
He's like, fuck! Like, I didn't do Mech Assault!
God, guys. Even I played Mech Warrior.
I mean, I did, too. Not enough, apparently.
No, that was Mech Assault.
Not enough, apparently. I was like 12 last time I played a MechWarrior game.
So was I. What else? What else we got?
I got a couple small things.
I got a real small thing. I played in Versus.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah, gamer. There was no, like...
He has small
small thing.
Penis joke.
I don't know if there's any sort of, like, customization or, like what the strategy of putting these mechs together is, because that is not in the demo at all.
It didn't seem all that deep, if even if it is there. I mean, how much depth could there be in customization?
The deepest thing was, like, you had a list of all the weapons on each mech, and you could, like, turn them off or on, but even that was just kind of, like...
No, we're talking about... Never mind.
I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, I hope...
I'm sorry I don't know enough about your defunct sci-fi series, Jordan. Sorry.
Jordan?
Yeah, Jordan Wiseman, the guy who made it.
Brett, you said you had a few games? What was the one you said?
Inversus.
Inversus, what's that?
Oh, that's out.
Yeah, it's out.
Oh.
There were a lot of games here that were out that I was...
It's one of the PAX 10, but it's like, you are... black or white or two different colors, and you can only go on the color that you is opposite of you.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you shoot, it turns the blocks that it fires into your colors, so you can like move into it or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's basically just a little like 1v1 or 2v2 little.
What is the
match? It's like,
how do you win the match?
Like, two players. If you shoot someone with your color, then it kills them.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Very like kind of small. It's cool, but there's not much depth to it.
Yeah,
but it was fun.
I played a little game called Air.
A-E-R.
It was at the Data booth, I think.
Air.
I mean, I don't know why I played it, because it was just there. But it's a game that kind of looks like has this low poly art style where you're like a girl who can turn into like a bird, and there's all these like... It's kind of like Skyward Sword, where there's all these floating islands in the sky, mm-hmm. but like instead of that goofy ass slow moving shit bird that was in Skyward Sword, you're like this nice, you turn into like a fucking eagle, and you fucking soar, and it's really nice.
Man, do you all remember when we were like, God, what if you can get on that bird and just fly to the other islands? Yeah. And what if you can fly down through the clouds and you're in Hyrule?
You couldn't do that, not very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I didn't play much of this game because I couldn't find out much to do, but I think it's kind of Zelda-inspired. I don't know how much depth there's going to be. I didn't have, like, a sword or anything. I think you just maybe solve puzzles and shit, but it had a nice look, and there was a nice, like, speed and freedom to, like, flying around as a bird, and I don't know. I also tried out Hand of Fate 2. Do y'all remember Hand of Fate?
Oh, yep. Yes.
That card game.
I played Hand of Fate 2 at E3.
Oh.
In the Xbox.
It seems a lot like the first one. I kind of went in there hoping that... We'll get to that. Kind of hoping that they would have had maybe dramatically improved like the combat or something. But it seems like they just... It's kind of iterative. They added some things like companions and stuff. It still feels very similar. I still think that like this game would be like way more talked about. If that combat wasn't so like floaty and sluggish, and it still is, they haven't nailed it. And I feel like if they just kind of found like a really good combat designer and kind of got them on board, they could make something kind of special here. But that combat,
sorry, just caught me off guard.
The combat is really just eh.
Eh?
I feel like it needs to be more than eh.
Eh?
The game's such a nice idea, but it ends up being kind
of
boring.
There's a lot of cool ideas, but they don't like mesh really. No one of them mesh.
They're just not executed. No one of
those mechanics is like so strong that you can kind of put up with the others not being that strong. You know?
Yeah. They should have maybe took a little time off before they.
Yeah, they jumped right into it.
I played a couple other small things, but we can wait on those.
I finally played Chasm. I know you talked about that yesterday.
Chasm.
I finally played that, and, you know, we don't have to have a big conversation on it because we talked about it last night, but I am fucking rock hard for that game.
It's gonna be so good. Such a nice look to it, too.
I know, like, it's fucking like, beautiful. And
like, platforming and challenging platforming, and that's one thing where, like, EGA, as those games kind of went along, they had less, like, cool platforming stuff, and so I'm glad this game has that in there.
It was fucking awesome. I don't have my book though. I can't remember what else I played.
You played Pit People?
I did play Pit People. Oh my god,
it's hilarious.
Yeah, like I watched Nolan play it last year.
You watch him and then you don't really get the full effect.
Yeah, if
did Nolan talk about it?
He played last year. And then I watched you play this year, and it's like so I've seen that demo, like I've seen the whole demo, but god damn, that narrator is it's too fucking funny, man. like the giant bear that's just like smashing people. Butterfingers! Like, he kills the dude's kid. Oh my god,
that sounds dark.
Horatio. They went off somewhere to make plans before Horatio inevitably failed and died. Like, I don't know. It's, you really just have the, I don't know if they have like trailers or something with that narrator in it on YouTube, but
if you don't know what we're talking about, this is Game 4 from the Behemoth, the makers of Alien Hominid, Castle Crashers,
Battle Block Theater.
This BBT? Is their fourth game. Mm-hmm. The one that kind of looks like a weird like hex strategy game, but did we talk about this?
Yeah, we talked about it last night.
Oh, yeah. Fuck it. Just watch the trailer.
Yeah, it's a really like kind of light tactics game, but it's gonna be fucking good.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's gonna be good.
All good. I played the Fall episode 2.
That exists.
Anybody, that's a thing.
Has anybody here played The Fall?
No, I haven't.
Anybody in chat played The Fall? Carlos likes The Fall. I know he's the one who.
Kelvin played it too.
He's the one who recommended I play it.
You need
I
to tell. Really you need to tell. It. You need to talk about the question you asked and then the answer you got.
Okay, Nick.
What?
What I no. What is Crispy doing?
I
don't know. What he's trying.
I was trying to get Nick to discreetly hand me my notebook without completely derailing the conversation, but now that it's fucking derailed, can somebody hand me my notebook? Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome. Oh,
this happens to me anytime I try to do something. They might play The Fall. I really like The Fall. It's this weird little like adventure game with a... You know, that's the one where the AI is controlling
the suit
because the body like has gone unconscious.
Yeah.
Something's
and
wrong.
And it's like trying to get it help. Right.
She's trying to get the
like
the
an emergency help. Protocol.
But she's breaking all these protocols, which she's not allowed to do. And the story is kind of how she kind of gets around all these protocols. And she you know, is conversing and interacting with other AIs and stuff. And it's a really interesting story with like surprisingly good voice acting for this weird little indie first episode of an indie game. But the second episode is here. I didn't actually think, I was really worried that we might never get a second episode because it's been over 2 years since that first episode, and I haven't really heard much at all. But it was there, and I played it,
and
it's
you asked,
good.
You asked him. What did you ask
him? I asked him, like, and it's not coming out this year, this second episode. Yeah. And I asked him, I was like, it's been a long time, you know, is that third episode, is it going to be like a shorter time before we get that one? Like maybe you are kind of ramping up and it's going to come out. They're like, no. It'll be a couple years probably before that one comes out too.
No,
and
I was like, just fuck,
just
man.
A casual like, nah.
Nah.
No. We haven't started yet. It'll be a couple years.
Yeah, it was really frustrating because I think it's like what's No Country for Old Men? What is that fucking indie game? The one with the
No Country for Old Men. That's
Kentucky Route Zero.
Kentucky Route Zero.
No, no Country for Old Men.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Kentucky
Route Zero. Kentucky Route Zero.
There's a jump there.
You know, where
I can see the connection.
It's been so long between those fucking episodes that people are just kind of like restless. Like, you know, it's like fucking Song of Ice and Fire. It's like, is shit gonna get done? Because I like this. But man, it's cool. There are some new things they're doing. It's funny because Carlos, is he in chat?
No.
Carlos is a fan of this series, but there is another thing that Carlos really loves is the game that I originally played on Xbox Live Indie Games. It's called One Finger Death Punch. Have you ever played that?
No.
It's where like waves of dudes are coming from both sides,
oh, yeah.
And you hit a button back and forth, and then it gets like deeper and stuff, and it's like really, really fucking fun. That's in this game. There's like, at least in this one scene where she's controlling like this other. Well, I mean, I don't want to get into the story, but like that, those mechanics are like straight up in this game. And it was so bizarre when I started doing it, but it was cool because like One Finger Death Punch is cool. I just thought that was really strange, but the Fall episode 2, it's coming out. I'm glad because again, still that it's got that really quality voice acting and really cool eerie story. I really like it. But
cool.
I'll play one more game, but I'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Unless y'all are done.
I mean, I told you I didn't play a whole lot today. So.
Ed's got one, and I've got a goofy little one.
But I played that chivalry.
The
magic chivalry game.
Didn't we talk about that last night as well?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, Mirage, Arcane Warfare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, which class did you play as?
I played as the one that like kind of looks like this or whatever.
Okay, this is a podcast. Ed lifts his arms above his head like a bird, and waves them around, looks like this.
Waves them around, effeatly.
It was like, I played the Alchemist or whatever.
The wizard?
Yeah. The wizard.
The one who can, like, float? Well, he starts with a teleport, but if you go into his, like, little stat tree, you can change his loadout so that he just levitates. And when he's levitating, like, nobody knows what to do. Because they're all, like, melee characters, and they're just like, oh, you found a wizard!
Yeah, and then I played the knight and the big armor with the big, like, axe mace thing. That was cool, too. The knight with the armor could summon like a big spike ball and just throw it on the ground and it would roll.
Yeah.
It would roll down and just blow up. People wouldn't know what to do, so they just like stand there and they get rolled over or whatever. Yeah. But the combat, I mean, I never played chivalry.
Yeah.
But the combat it has lots of force behind it, and you feel when the enemy parries you.
Yes.
You hit them and you feel yourself like kind of boing, like bounce off of them. You know?
That's
and
very chivalry.
It's
chivalry. It is chivalry.
There's a little bit of recovery to it, like, yeah.
But you really feel that, and even on the characters that aren't like the melee characters, it's still there.
No scream button? You didn't find a scream button?
No, I didn't really look.
I think it was V. I think it was V in chivalry.
You're playing the controller? No, I don't think about it. It was on the
PC.
I also like the. I like that, like, when characters die, like, there's actual, like, dismemberment and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, if you strike a killing blow on somebody and you're doing, like, a sideways slash like that, you'll just cut their head off. Like,
yes!
And cool. you can also, like, hit your allies, too. Like, there's a little bit of friendly fire. And so, like, after the match was done, you could still swing around, and there was a friend right next to me, and so I just swung my axe, like, 3 or 4 times at him until he, like, got decapitated or whatever.
But, you can decapitate your friends?
Yeah. If you hit them hard enough.
Axe don't know.
I played this game called Overload.
That's what that said? I was thought... Okay. That said Overlord.
Overload. Why are you looking at my notes, bitch?
Overload.
Sorry.
Overload. So defensive. That's a bad name, man. That's a bad name. A lot of bad names. I think the one that takes the cake is the Secret Legends.
Secret Legends, by the way, which is a game I overheard the developers talking.
Secret Legends.
The developers of Secret Legends said that, because someone actually, another developer had walked up and was asking them questions about the way they were presenting their game, just to like, get, you know, like, what was your choice behind the, because like, they don't have the name of their game really anywhere on their marketing, or, and she was like, what was the reasoning behind that decision? He's like, well, to be honest, the name of the game might change. I was like, well, thank God.
They've been getting a lot of feedback this
because
weekend.
That game looks incredible. That game looks beautiful. It's probably one of the most visually striking games of the entire show.
Are we talking about
Recore? No.
Secret Legend. Son of a bitch.
Oh, what a dick.
Looks Start. So good.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
And I was just like, I must Where play this. It's right at the corner of the... On the front corner
it's
of the end,
busy. Like, okay. I pass it, no.
But you can go and get a time and come back to it. And I didn't do it. I actually missed the appointment I had, so I couldn't play it. Point is, I saw it. And I was like, I gotta play this. This looks awesome. What is this? And I look at the title, Secret Legends. I was like, oh.
Wow. Well, I played Overload.
Okay, tell us about Overload.
And I was overloaded with joy because it was pretty cool. This game was kickstarted. Fairly recently, I suppose. It is a sort of a spiritual successor to Descent from people who worked on the original Descent. That's what they say. Somewhere I have to refresh my memory, but was there any sort of controversy behind this Kickstarter? I don't know. I feel like so many Kickstarters these days, there's always some bullshit behind
it. There's always controversy.
But, like, I played it, and it's fucking Descent, and I love Descent, so, like, it was cool, because if you know, y'all familiar with Descent? I think we talked about this. You're not... You've played Forsaken, right?
Yes.
Forsaken is...
Is that
like,
an N64?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that where you're in, like, those, like hovering vehicles?
Yeah. Well, it's first person. It's first person.
I love that game.
So that's very much a Descent clone, where you're, like, in all these cool underground, like, tunnels and stuff. But, like, you can go any like axis. You're like a ship, but like you're going through these tunnels, and like you don't even know what's up and down, and you get into these big rooms that have all these like paths and stuff that go off of it.
I liked it because it made
and,
it,
and it's like you're like, what is up, what is down, and you're just trying to kill robots and shit.
But I like that game because it felt cool, because it makes you feel more like a skilled pilot.
Yeah,
because you're always like, not only are you just deciding, because you're zipping through corridors and like you're doing things where you're going straight and then you're like flipping upside down pulling down on the stick and you know, to go down, like that kind of stuff was really cool.
Yeah, no, and then this gives you that sensation.
It probably controls like garbage nowadays, because
it controls.
I mean, I'm talking about Forsaken.
Oh yeah,
because of the N64 controller. But
no,
anyways.
but I mean, I was playing with the controller with dual sticks. You know, like you can control that type of game pretty well. And it was a lot of fun. You know, I think that's coming together quite nicely. I just hope that they can really capture like classic Descent like level design with like lots of cool secrets and stuff.
But yeah,
it feels nice. I mean, there's nothing really like Descent anymore. There was that one like roguelike that came out last year, I think. Forget the name of it, maybe it's still in early access, but I mean, you don't see a lot of stuff like that, and it just feels good to like fly around and kind of get all disoriented. It's just a cool sensation, like especially when you're like in a thing that looks flat, but then all of a sudden you're going up, because that's, and then it's cool. I would love to see like a map.
You know what?
Of one of those, how one of those levels.
You know what
structure.
Forsaken reminds me of? It reminds me of the tunnels in The Matrix, like when they're flying, like in the real world, they're flying around. And
again, that's Descent. That's the classic Descent feel. But yeah,
it's pretty cool.
It was cool. I mean, this game really wasn't on my radar, but now it kind of is. And you know, that's kind of what I love about PAX. You know, you go in, there's all these indie games everywhere, and you finally see one that doesn't have a giant line. You walk up, yeah, I'll fucking try this. I don't even really know what this is, or I've kind of heard of this before, and it's like, you're like, man, this is
cool.
This is cool. And that's what I like about PAX, because, you know, you go to E3 or something, which E3 is great for a lot of other reasons, but everything there is kind of a known quantity. You're not, like, discovering shit.
You're discovering shit in the sense that they make announcements and then things are there, but, like, on a smaller scale.
But it's like, I'm going to play Horizon, but I also knew that I was probably going to play Horizon when it came out. You know, it's nice to make discoveries. You know, like that fucking Cube game, you know? I could see that game have coming out on Steam and none of us caring or paying attention, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
You know? But now, we'll probably get that Cube game, play it before a podcast or two, and have a good time.
Yep.
And that's why PAX is rad.
Death Squared is what you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, our feed just died. So,
well, it'll restart.
What else we got?
You want to hear about my last game I want to talk
about?
I played a VR game.
It might not restart.
Yeah, I'm gonna edit.
I played a VR game called.
Oh, this is great. Wait for the feed to restart. Let's vamp a little bit.
Let's vamp.
Is that vamping?
That's singing.
This is our break music. No! Let's do the vamp. Well, we should wait for that for the stream, too.
What?
I feel like Ed's trying to make us forget. The Vegemite.
What? Did the OBS crash?
Kill it. Kill OBS and reopen it.
Still I'm singing in the song.
This is going to be really hard to edit a podcast. Like,
well, let's talk about stuff. Do y'all have any good? Talk about y'all's ramen.
I'll talk about.
Was y'all's ramen good?
Dude, the ramen was great.
What did you get in your ramen?
Corn and egg and
chasu pork.
And
well, I tried.
I got the super garlicky broth.
So good.
And I tried cloudy, unfiltered sake for the first time.
Which was disgusting, but that's just me. I'm not a fan of sake, so.
Sake.
I had a rather revolting reaction to it.
Sake to me.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's like, it was
I hurled everywhere.
It was served chilled. Yeah, it's like white. It's served chilled.
It's like milk water.
It's like sweet, but also like alcohol-y.
There's no dice? 12%.
Like zero. And it's not moving.
I think we just lost her. Oh.
Did we drop
it?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to come back. So let's just wrap this up. Let's talk about your game.
Let's talk about my game. Okay, so I played a VR game called The American Dream. The American Dream.
Which...
Anyone want to take a guess what this game's about?
Does it have anything to do with guns?
It's all about guns. So the premise of the game is that you're on like a ride at a World's Fair in like the 1950s.
Change servers.
And this ride is taking you through like think of like Magic Kingdom's like Tomorrowland sort of like Wheel of Progress.
Well, I mean, it's like the Epcot ball.
Well, before they changed it, but yes, yeah, it's like the Wheel of Progress. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Yeah, all that shit, right?
Yes.
Except it's all about like the future of America. What is the America of tomorrow going to be like? But this whole thing is put together by several companies that all happen to be gun companies. So, gun manufacturers. So the America of tomorrow in their vision, the American of tomorrow in this vision uses guns for everything. So
everything
in the game. So I played this on the what is that VR headset that has
the Vive?
The one with the two controllers, like the trigger controllers.
That's the Vive.
Yeah. The Vive. Yeah. Okay. So I played on the Vive, and you use those controllers. And in the game, you don't have, like, hands or a body or anything. You just have two guns floating around.
They're just guns attached at the wrist.
Yeah. Well, it's just
they
two guns.
They sawed off your hands and replaced them with guns.
Yeah, so you just move these guns around. And, like, every button in the game, you're just, like, hitting them with a gun or shooting the button. Like, everything you're doing in the game, every manipulation or interaction involves these guns. And, throughout the game, because it's like a ride taking you through these different scenarios, you're seated in this like little ride chair the whole time, and on both sides of you are these two buttons, and at any time if either of your guns run out of ammo, you hit that button and it pops a magazine out of this little slot that like pops into the air, and time slows down, and you just take the gun and you go. Like, you just swipe it into... you basically just catch the magazine.
You do the old reload the magazine in midair trick.
Yeah, yeah. And it actually, like, feels really cool doing it. But the ride itself is, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, something like that. And it takes you through several different scenarios. So it starts with the baby of tomorrow. And the ride pulls into this, like, giant-sized room. And you're, like, in a crib. And then it's like, the baby of tomorrow will need to learn how to use guns early. So, everything that you're doing in this baby's room is like shooting shit. So it's like they have like a shooting gallery with like these cutesy little ducks that you're like shooting, and then like mom comes in to feed you breakfast and she's got like a bowl of something, and she takes a gun and like dips it in the bowl and it like points the gun at your face and you have to like lean forward to eat it.
Yeah.
And it's like good. I was like, good, eat up baby, you have to grow to be big and strong, like, you know. And then once you're
okay, sorry, Brad, what are you trying to get me to do?
How about go in chat, tell them we're on Periscope. Thanks.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay.
Waving your fingers at me doesn't tell me what you're trying to say.
Go on,
I was
Periscope.
Pointing at the laptop. Sorry.
Periscope. Anyway, so after that, then you go into like what it's going to be like driving cars in the America of tomorrow. So you're in a car and you've got a steering wheel and like a drive, park, reverse. You know, gear shifter and a brake button, and the car starts driving, and you're driving through this simulated town. And to steer the car, you literally have to use the guns to turn the steering wheel. So it's just like it's just like a regular steering wheel. So it's got like the spokes running across, and you just have to like use the gun to like move them around. To like steer the car. And then you go to like a drive-through breakfast place, and it's like, why don't you start your day off right with a good old-fashioned American breakfast? And all the items on this like breakfast menus places are like donuts, milkshakes, like donut hamburgers. And you shoot the items that you want on the menu, and then you shoot a button and they pull you up, and they like there's a tray that comes into your car, and you like eat your breakfast. So you take your gun and you put it in the donuts, like the hole of the donut. donut to pick the donut up and then eat it.
I feel like this game is trying to say something.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a statement here.
Yeah.
And then while you're driving to work, a garbage truck pulls out in front of you and they're like, oh no, Mr. Garbage Man's being careless. Why don't you clean up the streets for us? Because like while he's driving in front of you, shit's falling out of the back of his truck. So you're driving and you're also like shooting everything to like get it out of your way. And then you get to work. And then, like, in this scenario, your job is at a bagel factory. So you're in front of a conveyor belt, and the conveyor belt's moving from left to right, and there's, like, fresh dough coming out on the left and going into an oven on the right. And then behind that, in the background of the space, there's another conveyor belt, like, with hooks that are, like, carrying the finished bagels, like, to packaging or whatever. But the bagels don't have holes in them.
So you have to shoot
all the bagels to put the holes in them, and then, like, sometimes there will be things on the conveyor belt, like rotten dough or something, that you need to get off the conveyor belt before it goes in the oven, so you have to shoot those so that they're going. And that this part of the game is the part that feels the most, like, gamey, really.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, you're shooting a lot of shit, and you're reloading. So, like, you're doing stuff where, like, you'll have to reload one gun, and while you're doing that, you're, like, shooting a bagel with another gun, and then something's going across you on the conveyor belt, so you shoot that, and then, like, it just felt really fucking cool. I don't know.
It's like those games in Zelda where you're trying to, like, win new, like, quivers.
The little
mini games. Yeah, where you're shooting the things, the targets that are going across.
I mean, it was basically just a glorified shooting gallery, but it was fun. And it has a monitor that tells you, like, how much money you're making every day. So, like, at the end of the day, after doing all this stuff, you made, like, $5.
Yes! Yeah, that's the future.
Yeah, and the boss, like, there's a cardboard cutout of a boss who pops out of the, like, manager's window, like, up at the, like, the foreman's office up at the top. And he's like, you better keep working, the boss is watching.
That's awesome.
It's just this goofy little, like, VR thing. It was fun. I mean, the developer said it's probably going to be something that's, like, you know, an hour long when it's done. It's not... You know, it's one of those, like, VR experiences.
The only thing about it is, like, doesn't that kind of make it, like, if it's just gonna be one of those things that they use to kind of show off the technology, that's, but an experience like that would never, like, sell a
It would be a headset. Thing that you would buy for, like, $5 on Steam, you know? You're right. No one's gonna run out and buy a VR headset to play the American Dream. But it's one of those things. It's like, oh, it's a fun little art piece to play if you happen to already have one. You know.
Yeah.
But fuck, man. Like, that's the first time I'd ever used the Vive controllers. Yeah. Those are pretty nice.
Yeah.
And like
using isn't the Vive like one of the most expensive headsets?
Yes.
I think so.
Jesus.
That was a really nice setup. And like shooting guns, like using that as a gun controller, felt really smooth. It was really responsive, even more so than like, because I played the PlayStation VR's whatever that new gun they put out for
the one
VR.
They were using for
Farpoint.
Yeah, Farpoint.
Yeah, it felt even better.
Those weird bastard childs of the PlayStation Move, you mean?
Yeah. It's called like the precision controller, like the aim controller or something like that. but yeah, it was kinda cool. I just like in the game when they're giving you tutorial messages, it's like to aim the gun, just stare down the sights, like, and it shows you like how to line up sights on a gun, like you would in real life. It's fun.
That's cool. Cool tech.
That's all I got today.
All right. Well, I think we're gonna wrap up. We've actually lost our connection on Twitch and whatnot, and I think unless anybody else has any other games to talk about, I think that can conclude this podcast.
Unless you want me to eat the Vegemite on the podcast.
Yes.
Do it. Vegemite.
So who gave us the Vegemite again?
Hand of Fate 2.
Hand of Fate 2. And we are officially inducting
Wait,
Ed.
Can someone move that trash?
Brad,
could you sit up?
We are officially.
No, I've got a shot here.
We are officially inducting. Oh my god, Ed into the four. Oh god, I'm gonna gag. He's about to eat some Vegemite.
Wait, before you do
that. I can smell. No, the memories.
It smells pretty gross.
The memories.
No. Are you doing it?
Go for it.
No.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
Oh, God!
Dude, I squeezed the tube
it's
of
so
that
salty.
Into my mouth.
Ow!
Ow! Did you just...
Thanks for listening! That's...
Ugh.
No!
Oh,
oh God!
What did you think it was going to taste like? Chocolate?
It looks like...
Well,
it
that's the thing, I don't like chocolate, so...
Oh! Oh, God. Somebody cover this up. It's going to smell the whole room up like this. Oh, God. We need to flush it down the toilet. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Wait. We got one more thing to show them.
What? No. No. Can I finish this podcast before you do that?
Oh.
Yeah, you can shut that on Periscope. It's fine.
Thank you, guys, for listening. 4Player Podcast or 4PlayerNetwork.com. Of course, Brad and Crispy and Ed will be here tomorrow. I'm actually leaving tomorrow, but I'm not sure. So we might get another podcast in when it's all said and done, depending on how much stuff they play or they want to talk about. But, anyways, thank you to all the people, to the people, not all the people. Thank you to the folks who came out. We had a very small, community meetup today, about 3 or 4 people. Had a nice dinner. It was nice. We didn't do a lot of planning this year on it, so it was cool to have a few people show up and say hi and have dinner. So thanks for coming out.
I don't want to drink MTV eating
that. Guys, focus for a second. We finished this podcast. You just derailed my thought. PAX West 2016.
Woo!
Day 2. Woo! We'll see you later. 4playernetwork.com. Peace out.
Love you!
Why are you zooming in on me, Brad?